The promise that I made to you this morning was that I would interview my guest and longtime friend, Bill Delane. Bill Delane is with us today to talk about social media, blogging, and public access TV, everything you ever wanted to know about those issues. Bill is an IT professional with more than 25 years of experience as a developer and project manager. However, Bill tells me he is constantly investigating and learning new trends and skills in the digital world. Bill is also a longtime public access TV producer and host for NHTV in North Haven. In fact, that's how I first met Bill, and I guess it was over 25 years ago, Bill.
1985.
See, he remembers those things. And he actually auditioned me because for a time I had a show on North Haven TV. Bill, what is social media?
Social media. Let's have a simple definition for that. We're talking about web platforms that are based on user interaction. We're talking about Facebook, Twitter. We're even talking about the New Haven Register, where you can read the story and you can comment on the story afterwards. So it's interactive. A couple of other terms are Web 2.0 and social networking. And the idea is to bring people together, and the idea is to discuss issues online. The web was originally a place just for static material, meaning the New Haven Register would put out stories, but they would change them maybe a couple of times a day. Channel 3, the same thing, or a business would put out something on the web and not change it. Whereas Web 2, it's dynamic and it's interactive.
See, now that's, to me, a double-edged sword, because number one, it's great to feel like you're interactive. You have a say in the stories that are coming out. You could comment on people's blogs, or as you mentioned, you could go on and comment on a newspaper blog, give your opinion about the story. But I mean, isn't that also an open door for a lot of loose cannons?
Especially the New Haven Register. Fortunately, if you find something that's offensive, you can there's a button you can press, and you can complain about it, and they will take off the comment.
You know what? You could do that on Amazon, too, because I noticed that, you know, when you're an author like I am and you're on Amazon, you can tell when somebody hasn't even read the book, but they just want to wreak havoc. And if you let them know, they will take it off. Bill, what is the we're talking with Bill Delane again. And if you want to contact him, first of all, you can go to creatingyourfirstwebpage.com, or you could text us right now with a question at
203-640-4711.
Bill, how are the rules different for traditional media and public relations versus social media?
Basically, do not throw out the old rules. Think of how you want to communicate, the way you're communicating today, with either flyers in the neighborhood or being on radio or advertising in the newspaper and whatever, and just take that and modify it for Facebook and for Twitter. The best way to deal with Facebook and Twitter is to give out information instead of saying, hey, come to my store for this, or come to my store for that. You can say, hey, we're having a special for you this week. Or you can mention the way to cook salmon. You could say, hey, here's a nice little recipe for cooking salmon. You're giving information. You're sharing. You're not just doing an advertisement.
That is such a great point. You know, last weekend I was at the American Society for Journalists and Authors in New York City. And they said the same thing, like now authors who are on blogs and so forth, it's not about, you know, buy my book. It's about, yes, you can offer your services. I mean, but people find they want to purchase your services when they know you give them great free content and valuable content.
Free. It's like the same rule where, okay, I'm going to price something at this amount. Maybe I will have a special on dessert. You bring people into the restaurant. It's the same thing with social media. You're giving something for free. People like free.
People like
coupons?
Free.
I mean, look at coupons. I mean,
yeah. And I mean, they want to come and see what your services are. They trust you when they know you are generous with your with what you have with your expertise, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
I
a
like
great
what
point.
You do with your social media. You have Twitter, and you'll give out little pieces of advice,
little tips,
right? And of course, you can you could go to Twitter. You could look at the person's bio, and therefore you can go to the person's webpage, and then you give a little, you give more information on your webpage, and sometime and somewhere way in the bottom, you say you offer these services and you have your prices, but that's not the first thing we see.
Yeah.
We don't see that you're pushing, that you're looking to provide services up front. You're giving a lot of free information. You're giving free information on Twitter, and people love that.
Thank you.
And the important thing is, they may not want your services now. They may not want to go into your restaurant now, but you're putting your name out there.
Exactly.
That's why in traditional media, Coca-Cola, Pepsi-Cola, whatever, they do a lot of radio advertising, a lot of TV advertising. You may not want Pepsi right here and now, but you're going to remember that the next time you want to drink something.
We are waiting for your texts at this following number, 203.
640-4711. I'm reading a text now. Hold on a second.
All right. We love it.
Yeah. So, somebody asked me, what is Meetup? Interesting, because that is the ultimate social network as far as I'm concerned. You have Twitter, you have Facebook, and in most cases, people don't get together. There's no call to action to get together. Whereas Meetup, it is a call to action to get together. You have hiking groups. Just go to meetup.com up in the upper left-hand corner. If you go in, when you first go in on the right-hand corner, it will say list a hobby or whatever and list the city. So you can list hiking and you can list New Haven, Connecticut, and you'll see the hiking groups in this area. On the other if you go to other pages, then you have to press a button on the left-hand side. People get together and you share pictures. You can share pictures for the events that you go to, and that's really good for a photography group. I'm a member of Mid-Connecticut Photography Meetup and another one in this area called My Photo Group. And some groups use discussion boards. Each meetup group can use a discussion board, and you can start discussions and share information about photography or whatever.
What I like about Meetup too, Bill, is that if you don't find a group that specifically addresses your you have an interest that isn't large enough for there to be a group on it, you can start your own.
Yes. There are fees. The fees vary. I'm not sure what they're doing at this point. Sometimes they have specials. Sometimes if you're an organizer for two meetup groups, I'm told you get a discount for the second one.
And I noticed there are some people, too, that offer services through Meetup.
Milford Photography. He offers classes through Meetup.
Through Meetup.
In fact, he's doing a freebie tonight at the Scranton Library in Madison, three tips for excellent photography.
So, but you can do that also. I mean, you could actually offer classes that people pay for as
yes.
well, right?
Yes, even if you're a business, you can set yourself up on Meetup.
Yeah, because I noticed there's a place in Wallingford, and I know you used to live in Wallingford, Michael's Trattoria.
Oh, I love that restaurant.
Yeah,
excellent
and
restaurant.
And they used to have, on Meetup, I believe it was, a tasting
event
where people, you know, paid a certain fee, obviously, to cover the price of food and what have you.
Yes.
And they went there. So, I mean, it's a great, great site. I'm glad that you mentioned that. Bill, we're talking again with Bill Delane, and we are, I'm just a quick station ID, we are on 88.7 West Haven, WNHU, and you're listening to The Art of Living Well with Dr. Raylene Mautner and with my special guest, Bill Delane, technology expert. We go back a long way as well, and Bill's helped me out of more than one technological jam, and he really, really knows his stuff. Bill, do you need to be an expert to make a website or blog because they look so professional?
No, and I'll tell you why. It depends on the tools you are using. Case in point, Homestead. Homestead.com is a place where you can make a website and have your website hosted. North Haven Economic Development Commission introduced a new website a couple of weeks ago at their breakfast, and the woman gave a demonstration of the website, and she showed how what what the pages are. She showed how you can navigate through it. It's an excellent website, and I spoke with her afterwards. I thought she was a professional, and I asked her, how much experience have you had with this? Do you have a business? And she said, no, this was the first time she did this. She's the administrative assistant to the first selectman in North Haven. And they said to her, would you like to make a website? It's an excellent website. If you go to, if you Google Town of North Haven, you can get to the North Haven Economic Development Commission website, or if you Google North Haven Economic Development Commission, you can do that. Blogspot is a place where you can set up a blog. And it's, blog is short for weblog. And you, it's like a diary.
I
where
never
you,
knew that. Weblog. It's like a diary,
yes,
you
that's
put
right.
on the web.
Right.
Love it.
So, you know, like you can write something each day. And this was the first time I tried blogging, and it was pretty intuitive, and I was able to set up a blog. I set up a blog. This, I decided to do just pictures. I wanted to do a focus, not like when I was on Facebook and I was all over the place. So I set up a blog at bill1820.blogspot.com. And if you want to take a, that's bill1820.blogspot.com. And if you want to take a look at an excellent blog, go to North Haven Way. That's one word, northhavenway.blogspot.com. Chris Peterson is the webmaster for that, is the blogmaster, I should say. And it's about North Haven politics. He does some national politics in there, too.
I have to say that another great blog, I don't know if you've taken a look at it, is RaylenMautner.com.
Yes, that is. RaylenMautner.blog. That, you should go there every RaylenMautner.com.
Yeah, you know,
you should
what?
Go there every day.
That's a thank you. And that's a, you know, it's a, important for you to know that a lot of people are deciding, do I need both a web page, Bill, and a blog? Not necessarily,
no.
Right?
No, I don't think so, no. Some people do. They have static information on their web page, and yet they'll have a blog to update things daily.
Bill, if you have a blog, how often should you update it to maximize your traffic or the number of people who come to read it?
I'm going to say twice a week, maybe three times a week. Some people update every day. An excellent blog.
Exhausting, though.
You can have a blog where you have, like I said, northhavenway.blogspot.com, or you can have an actual URL that you have tied into that. Jeff Fox, who does the weather on TV, he has one called jefffox.com, G-E-O-F-F-F-O-X.com. He updates it every day, and he'll give some weather information, and he'll do a diary type of thing. He has a dog named Doppler. Imagine a weatherman.
Oh.
Imagine a weatherman with a dog named Doppler.
I cannot imagine. Where
and
on earth
did
he get
that? He has written that he gets a lot of hits when he puts on pictures of his dog.
You know what? I noticed, too. I mean, people gravitate towards photos. They love images.
You know, as Rod Stewart once sang, every picture tells a story.
Oh, you got it.
And
you know what? There are a lot of photos. I mean, can we get some of your photos to put on our blogs or what? Are they
Bill
up there?
Bill1820.blogspot.com. Or if you go to Meetup and type in and search for Mid-Connecticut Photography Meetup in Newington, Connecticut.
You know,
you
think
can go to the photo album. We have a lot of photos there.
I think it's important, though, to also mention copyright and to give people credit for the photos.
Yes. Do not take somebody else's work.
Bottom line.
Do not take somebody else's work.
And the same goes for, like, articles, text. Like, what I tell people is if they want to reproduce any of my articles, feel free. But just put my the proper credit, the URL for my blog spot and my name.
Technically, if you use a link, like let's say you were writing something in your blog today and you wanted to take the article in the New Haven Register, if you mention the New Haven Register is saying yada, 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 and you put the link to the New Haven Register, that is fine because you're sending people to the New Haven Register's website.
Mm-hmm.
If you take the article and copy and paste it. No.
Then no. And you know what? There's less kind of vigilant, control over the internet. So there is a lot of, I mean, I found a lot of my work on other people's sites.
Mm-hmm.
without credit.
We've had that problem with photos. In fact, there are people who in our photo group who will not post pictures because you can lift them, or they will watermark their name in the middle of the photo or at the bottom
I've
of the photo. And there's one photo group in Connecticut Photography Zone. They won't make their meetup public. That's so they can keep the pictures for themselves.
Well, I want to say to the listener, you know, it is true. And like for some photographs, you pay like a licensing fee or a copyright fee. Sometimes it's just very, very minimal. But there also are photos in what we call the public domain. What is that, Bill?
I don't know about photos in the public domain. If I were to take a picture of the New Haven Public Library, it's still my photo. I'm not sure about that. There's such a thing as fair use. Let's say you and I were talking about a particular TV show, and we ran a clip from that TV show. If we're talking about the TV show and we're putting on the clip to demonstrate what we're talking about, that's fair use, a short clip. But obviously, you just can't run the whole TV show.
I'm talking with technology expert Bill Delane, and his website is creatingyourfirstwebpage.com. And you can also find his email on that site. You can also watch Bill interview with Bill Delane, which is the name of his public access show. Bill, before I get to public access, we've been talking about blogging and social media, etc. Listen, if I have a website or I have a blog, where does Facebook and Twitter come in? Do I need them? I mean, should I use them?
Facebook is proprietary, which means you have to belong to Facebook to look at the page. In most cases, you can make a Facebook page public, but most people do not. Most businesses do not. And you have to have a Facebook ID and password. So if you use just Facebook by itself, you're not getting everybody. Personally, I do not like Facebook. Because
I was going to ask you about that, because what did I say to you this morning? Bill, you're here to talk about social media. Why aren't you a friend on Facebook?
The woman who runs my photography meetup group said the same thing to me. How can you talk about social media if you're not on Facebook? Facebook, I found, was something that's all over the place. And I've been on message boards, dedicated message boards, since the beginning of time, almost since the early days of Prodigy in 1990. One board I'm on is oldies message board. So we're talking about specific oldies. We're talking about the groups from the 50s and the 60s. And so it's a dedicated board, and I'm used to dedicated boards. Facebook is not dedicated, so I don't care for Facebook that much. I love Twitter because you can say certain things. You can retweet things. And I used Twitter is my news feed. I look at this to see what's going on. Like here we are. The sports station in New York wrote something earlier.
I tweeted earlier this morning about our show this morning.
This is what I was looking for. The tweet from the sports station in New York. The Jets has signed quarterback Matt Sims. He's the son of Giants great Phil Sims. And sometimes I get my news first by looking at Twitter, because I am following, I follow practically every medium in Connecticut, The Current, The Register.
If you want to do the social media thing, Bill, how much time do you need to devote to it?
As little or as much as you want to do it as a hobby, or you think you need to do it to promote your business. I wouldn't spend a lot of time with it, but I would spend some time. Another thing I want to mention about Twitter, 50 Shades of Grey, that author, in New Haven last week, and two people in media tweeted about that. They were there, and one person was not happy with the author and thought the author was not that pleasant.
Yeah, that is making a big splash. And didn't Faith Middleton interview her? I'm not sure, but she did talk about the book on one of her shows. So Twitter could give you the latest feed for what's going on. again, if you want to, is there a difference in the way you use social media, Bill, between if you're doing this for your social, connections, which, it's not a bad thing if, like you say, you use it to actually enhance your social life, not in lieu of a social life. But is there a difference between
don't give up living. Don't give up living. Yeah. Don't give up your business. Obviously, if you've been doing copywriting or promotion for your business and you spend X amount of time because you need to spend Y amount of time to actually service your customers, think of that ratio with social media. If you're spending like maybe 5% of your time working with promotion now, maybe 3% more of your time for social media, maybe 1% of your time. It depends. Just don't make it your life.
Well, let's take, for instance, we didn't do like the image.
I did get a question.
Question.
What's a good place to show my pictures on the internet? I'm going to say Flickr. Flickr is the best one. It's free. It's by the people who it's owned by Yahoo. You can have an ID and password, and you can set up an account, and you can put in albums. You can separate your pictures by albums, by topics, and you can also join groups, and you can also have contacts or friends on Flickr.
Is that public, Bill? When you do
that, is public? Yes.
So I mean,
you can make it private,
though.
You can make it private and share your material with just certain people.
Because I think we have to also say a word with all this social media and access to just anybody, mm-hmm. including, you know, people we might not want to have know our personal business. It's important to protect ourselves. What are the best ways to do that?
The first program director I worked for in radio said to me, you can't be held liable for anything you don't say. And that's a good rule.
Well, that's an important rule for the content you put out there. But mm-hmm. what about if you don't want people knowing, like, where you are? Some people like Twitter or Facebook where they are. I'm on the train now.
That's like saying I'm going on vacation. Hey, come rob my house.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I mean, the other day I was on Facebook, which, you know, I got on social media for, you know, my publisher told me to, but I'm not quite sure how to use it yet. That's another show we'll have to do with you. But somebody started asking me, well, where's your office? You know, I work right around the corner from you. Where's your office, Em? What time are you there? And, you know, and I'm thinking, okay. And I finally said, you know what? We'll talk about that over the phone.
you know, maintain privacy. You know, again, remember the old rules. Do not say where you live. Just don't say where you live. In many cases, like Meetup, a lot of people put their first names and they don't put their last names, which is good.
That's good. Or they use like can you use like a, what do you call it? Fake name.
I don't recommend it because the purpose of Meetup is to actually meet people in a group and do things together. So a first name.
All right. So Bill, Public Access TV, mm-hmm. You know what? I just had the greatest experience when I was hosting my show on Public Access TV, thanks to you, because you had the wisdom and the foresight to audition me and choose me to do a show. And boy, did we have fun.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you did that. And that led to here, if you ever go syndicated, remember who's the first person who gave you your first shot.
We'll never forget the little people on my way up, Bill. You know that.
But the thing is, you don't have to be a pro to do public access television. You came in without having any experience. You had the desire. A lot of people come in and do public access because they're interested in politics in town, or they're interested in a certain hobby, or they want to talk about health. The main thing you should be doing with public access television is local and doing things that the big guys can't do. Case in point, we serve North Haven, and the purpose of a public access station is to serve your little community. You take something like you take a TV station like a Channel 8, they have to serve 169 towns in Connecticut. They cannot concentrate on North Haven.
That's a good point. So you mean if you have an idea that is really local, mm-hmm. that's the time to get into public access TV. Mm-hmm. Like we did the we highlighted local business people on my show, remember?
Mm-hmm. You had a your first show, you had a hypnotist.
I had a hypnotist. That's right, Bob McGrath.
Mm-hmm.
Bill, you know that UNH, University of New Haven, has a communications program. What advice would you give to any students who might be listening this morning to our station?
I am going to say learn to write well. Take writing courses here. Take every type of media writing course that you can take. because it is important to be an excellent writer. TV is a visual medium, but it takes writing and it takes organization in order to put it together. And of course, writing means research. If you can write for radio and TV, you can write for business. You have to be bright and tight for radio and TV. You also have to be bright and tight for
that.
Business proposals, because people do not have time to read a 500-page 500-page document.
Mm-hmm.
They want to see bullet points. And you will learn the stuff in your media courses, and whatever you learn in your media courses for writing, you can take elsewhere into business. Case in point, I was a project manager for a lot of years, and the for project management certification for PMP, they teach you that 90% of project management is communication.
Oh boy, that is such a good point.
Mm-hmm.
And that, you know, that's something I didn't expect from you as an answer, you know, but it is so important. It's something that we don't think about, because a lot of times you look on the internet, you look on social media, and it almost looks like people just kind of vomited their thoughts out there. And, you know, there's like no filter, no control, no spell check, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But it is important, you say, to really get that writing bright and tight. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And you are a tech writing coach. So if people want to find out more about that,
mm-hmm.
they could go to your website or call your cell phone, I imagine, right?
Yes, 203-640-4711.
And the last point I want to make before we end here at The Art of Living Well is YouTube. We didn't mention it, Bill. Is it a good thing or not to put your face out there?
I have a couple of things on YouTube. If you go to Bill NHTV,
one of our interviews on there?
Not one of ours. I have to cut it up, put it out there. Edit.
YouTube, I guess it's up to you.
I like YouTube. If you're doing a show, like I do a half hour show, if I put it on YouTube, I really cut it down, because people are in front of their computers. They're not sitting back on their living room chairs being comfortable. So you really want to make it extremely tighter on YouTube.
Yeah, I think we got some great information from you this morning.
Thank you.
Bill Delane, I am so
glad
happy
to be here.